know sometimes your burdens get heavy, and the load seems too hard to bear.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Santiago, and my co-host, Lisa G.
Hello, hello, hello.
Today we have a special guest, the legendary Tony Award winning, four-time Grammy nominated legendary singer, Ms. Melba Moore. Welcome to the show, Ms. Melba.
Welcome.
Hello.
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 Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Oh, hi. Okay, great. I didn't know if I had to dial something else.
Melba Moore, can you hear me, Melba?
Yes, thank you for having
Melba.
Me.
Melba, this is Sharon Sorsby.
Nice to hear you.
You know what? I'm in the hospital, and I'm on the phone with you. I'm excited.
Oh, I hope you're okay.
This is not about me. You know, I just got diagnosed with cancer, so I'm excited.
Oh.
I just had a round of chemo today, round two. I have four more to go, but we're going to cut that because I love Melba. Oh, my God, Melba, listen. So when I'm here, sometimes I can't get good connects, but I'm always on Peach Melba. So you have 98 members, but you have other sites too. But you're two members away from 500 peaches on Peach Melba.
Oh, well, I'm so glad to be with you today and pray in Jesus' name for your total and full and quick healing. Yes.
Yes, because, you know, I lost my only child in December and now this. But I'm fighting it. And it ain't about that today because I believe in God and I know it's real. And
well, I don't mind you sharing it with me. It's not all about me either.
Yeah, but
glad
I'm
to
not
be with
gonna
you.
Get sad. But I love Melba more. You know, growing up as a child, I was telling Melba because my sister and I met her at an event, but I didn't get to get too deep with you, Melba, because my sister and I were laughing. I said, we got to get sharp for this event because I just happened to be scrolling on. I'm doing an interview. I just happened to be scrolling, and I saw this event that you were attending. I said, girl, we going to this event all my life. I want to see Melba. Honey, let me tell y'all. I make decent money. I'm not rich, but I'm okay. We was okay because, honey, I even nabbed her a tuxedo. But
well,
she ended up.
Your comments. Absolutely.
Let me tell
so, Ms. Melba, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank
Nate
you.
And I want to thank you for your time, especially. Maze?
Yes. And that song that we just played in, that was from the new project that came out in December. It's called The Day I Turned to You. That song was called Call Me, featuring none other than the other legend, Shirley Murdock. Could you tell us about that project? Because I am fascinated. This song is amazing. You guys were singing to, I mean, like it was their last day singing. Like this was amazing. The vocals on this performance
was
just amazing. Right?
Yes.
Well, it was the first day for me. Actually, what had happened was I was on the road with the first gospel show that I had ever, well, it was a gospel show that was created by Michael Matthews, who's kind of like the earlier day Tyler Perry, who everybody knows from beginning gospel plays and then going into television and film. Well, the one who taught him how to do what he did was Michael Matthews, and I was out on the road with him in a gospel play called Mama, I'm Sorry. And when I came out on the play, I had lost my family, my career. I have one daughter. I had lost her for a while. I got everything and everybody back. But when I was out on the road, I was literally homeless. And I didn't have a bank account. I was bankrupt. The show was really made up of, it wasn't just a gospel play, but the people in the show were saved. And I was saved too, but I didn't know it because I wasn't like going to a church or anything, but I'd had the born-again experience. And it was just a whole brand new day in my life. They showed me how to go to the post office and put my money in money orders and wear it in my clothes and everything because I didn't have a bank account and I didn't have an address. And while we were out on the road, my paths crossed with Shirley Murdock. And I saw her perform, and I said, oh, my goodness. Because I had gotten used to seeing gospel singers who do things with their voices that you wouldn't know they could do that unless you actually really saw it. And she was one of them. And when I met her, she told me that she had come to see me when I was on Broadway and that I was very nice to her and that she was a fan of mine and everything. So anyway, you know, our paths crossed like that. And I expressed to her that I wanted to do a gospel album, but I didn't. I'm born again, but I don't know any of the I wasn't Baptist or Pentecostal or anything, so I don't know any of the songs. And I didn't know what I should do. I needed some music. And she said, you need some songs that tell your testimony. So I said, well, what's a testimony? And she explained to me that normally your autobiography is what your life story is. But when you're born again, your story is what did Jesus do in your life. So it's a religious autobiography. And she said that she and her husband, Dale DeGroat, wrote and produced music, and she would love to collaborate with me and write some songs that would help me tell my testimony. And she and her husband wrote three songs on my, well, they're on my current CD as well, and one of them was Call Me. And then the important thing about Call Me is that she looked down and condescended to actually have the duet with me as well as sing the background voices. And, of course, you know she's not nobody's background singer. But anyway, that's how I got this blessed song. And the important thing is She's so strong, so strong. But she didn't sing over me or out-sing me. She didn't do that at all. She really pumped me up and supported me and sang with me and helped me to actually get started in learning how to sing gospel music. So that's why it's so incredible, because she and Dale, you know, they not only brought the best out of me, but they supported me. They gave me the music. They really didn't charge me for it. They told me I could do anything I wanted to with it. And all these years later, it's on this album.
Wow. And it's amazing. I listened through the whole project, and it is an amazing body of work. You know, and I'm just like that song. Like I guess I understand now, because that was the first time I heard you sing that hard before. You know, the gospel
right.
style of singing. And so it was the first time, and I'm just like, wow, I didn't know she
right.
was. Because everybody know you for the long high notes and everything like that, but this was like the first time I heard you get into that gospel, you know, type of singing, like the hard singing and all the
right.
runs and riffs and everything. And I was just like,
right.
man, she
well,
is
I was
killing
out on
this.
The road with not only gospel singers, but they were saved people, and I had come in from everybody cussing all the time and really making fun of me and ostracizing me because I was born again. So what are you going to do, get out on the corner and get a cup and take up money or something? And so I was in shock when we started our rehearsals, and one of the Dita, I'll never forget Dita, she said, "Good morning, saints. Praise the Lord, everybody. I thought I had died and went to heaven." I was so used to people cussing. And they, you know, they prayed and they sang and they, you know, I was really in deep grief because at that time we had such terrible, I had had such terrible situation with my family and my ex-husband and everything. My daughter had run away, and so I really couldn't really talk to people. So they came around me and they just were with me. And I don't know if you know about saved and gospel people, but you know they make the best comedians. They are hilarious. And we traveled on the bus together, and so I couldn't really sink into my grief, and sometimes I'm sure I just kind of sank into very being quiet, because you're so grief stricken you can't speak. I can't say that I was depressed, because when you're saved, there's a spirit of the Lord in you and on you, and you don't get into yourself so much, but where's my child? And I don't have a place to stay. I don't, you know. And then of course I was ashamed because I'm a public person, and like I'm doing down here, I'm telling you all about all the great things that happened to me. You don't go out there and tell people of the horrible things that are happening to you, so you're suffering a feeling of shame. It's just a terrible, terrible situation to be in. Except you're in the midst of saints, and all those people in that play, in that musical, they've all been through something, and so
yeah.
they really were empathetic and sympathetic, and so you just gotta soak it up. And I'm, you know, so grateful to be able to have the chance to say just thank you for that part of the experience. I got everything back. I got everybody back, and so, you know, I was alone with God in that sense, and with people who major in God. So in a way, I kind of had to get it back, but that's easy to say. It's not easy to do.
Right.
That's so
I think
true.
I think
going
that's
life.
Yeah. I think that's a part of once you go through something like that, and if you ever experience any type of issues like that again, it's a part of you now. You know that it's a part of a testimony, and it's building a testimony. And now
yeah.
you are able and strong enough to share that, because it can inspire someone else to keep going and keep trying and keep praying and work yourself through the whole issues, because it's going to get better.
And
yeah,
know, too, that it's your job to go through it with them, or to be there with them, not
mm-hmm.
to just wish them well and go on about. I'm saying even in your mind, in your thoughts, you don't just go off and bask in your glory and all the good things that you're doing. You got to think about what's going on around you that you could participate in helping make things better. That's what you go through it for.
I'm sure when you were going through that, you weren't thinking that, because most times, you know, just going through life, when we're going through those situations, we don't really see the destination or the big picture of how everything comes together.
No.
So Yeah, not at all. Sure we all have some form of testimony, but it's also good to hear because, like you said, everybody always, well, you know, I'm doing this right now and I got this going on, but they never really tell the tale where, you know, I was eating oodles of noodles.
Well, usually people don't want to hear that. You guys do, so thank you.
Yeah, it's very inspiring because we can see, like, the idea behind the whole thing. Like, you went through this whole situation, and all these things were happening that were surrounding you with the right people while you were going through that the whole thing. Like you said, you were feeling
right.
some type of, like, you wanted to grieve, but you were around these people, and they were uplifting you without even knowing what you were going through at the time.
Right, right.
So.
While I was out there, I was learning how to sing gospel, so that's what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you hear a freshness and a newness in it. Like you hadn't heard me sing that way, but also I had not sung that way before.
Right. Well, you must have did a master class because I'm telling you, that song, you went there. Like, I mean, I was just like in awe the whole time. I listened to this song like 5 times last night because I was just in awe of your voice because – I seen you do the Broadway stuff, and we hear you sing like the jazzy songs, but and the standards, you know. But this was something totally different and fresh, and I gotta say, I actually like it, and I hope you do more of it.
I think the miracle aspect of it is God is really teaching you how to sing, and I think you hear that. Not that you know that when you listen to it, but you hear the presence of God in it.
Hmm.
That's what I think, anyway.
Did you shock yourself when you were, like, when you listened back at the record, were you kind of shocked that you can do all these things with your voice?
I'm still shocked.
So you have a new record that just came out. I think it's called Doing Me or I Gotta Do Me. I'm Just Doing Me. And I got a chance to listen to it, and it's that's another thing. It's like you keep reinventing yourself, and I was talking to your manager, and he was like, Melba is not the type of artist that is kind of, you can't put her in a box, you know. And I think that explains your longevity in this industry that's so fickle. Like, you see a lot of people kind of fall from the wayside when they start out strong and then they kind of fall, but you kind of had a steady, you know, career, just kind of coming in and doing movies, television, different types of music genres and everything like that. What gives you that type of strength to keep going? Like, I know it's God, but what comes to your mind when you say, like, the R&B music isn't selling, so I'll do this? Like,
I think for me, I am an artist of diversity, but the way I found it out is, everybody said, well, you can't do that because of this or that or the other, and I had already done it. Or if I had the opportunity, I could learn how to do it. And so when something is not available and you have another opportunity, maybe you don't do that so well, you can learn to do it better. Or you've never done it, but they give you the opportunity to learn on the job. So now you have another thing that you can do. It's not that I was so smart, but I love, 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 love to sing. So... if I get a chance, I'm going to try.
And your mother, you come from a musical family. Your mother was a singer, a professional singer. I got to listen to some of her songs on YouTube. And your stepfather also was a musician, and your actual father also, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was really steeped in music as it was. But in the beginning, my mother was a single parent, so I didn't really have proper family community, you know, support, upbringing. And my grandmother, who I lived with, didn't speak. She had strokes. And so I was raised by, what did you call a nanny? What do we used to call them? The person that raises, that brings up the child.
Nanny?
The nanny?
I call them a nanny.
Yeah.
You know, that you hire to do that.
The nanny.
Was it a wet nurse or something like that?
No, that's for the baby.
Well, she
raised me until she stayed with me till she passed away, because when my mother married my stepfather and he had a daughter and a son, and then later we had two more brothers, and I moved from New York City to New Jersey. She moved with us, So, but the point was, she was from the backwoods of South Carolina. She was an orphan. She was shuffled from one house to the other, one farm to the other. She lived with sharecroppers. She never learned to read or write or anything like that. And at a certain point, somehow she came up north and started to work with families in the north as a nanny. So she was really my strongest influence, because mother was gone most of the time on the road singing and also trying to make a living to take care of my grandmother, my nanny, and me. So that was my family. It was very, very broken. And at that point, the first like 9-10 years of my life, there was absolutely no music in my life. It was only when my mother married my stepfather, and he played the piano, and they worked together. They had a duo together, and then they expanded it to a trio and then a quartet. And they made my stepfather made myself and my sister and brother take piano lessons. Then we got like intimately involved with studying music, plus they rehearsed at the house. Then it really became a centerpiece of our lives.
Wow. And did you ever get an opportunity?
After you decided to sing, did you feel like you had the support that you needed? Were they like fully backing you at that time?
Well, at home, yes, in terms of being in the family. But then it came time to go to high school. And I'd become so involved and in love with music, I discovered that we had an art and music high school where you could actually major in music. You had to audition to get in. But then I determined that I wanted to focus on music. I didn't know that I was super talented or anything. Everybody in our family was musical. But I knew I wanted to be involved with music. I wanted to sing. I wanted to play a piano. And so at that point, I went to Arts High School in Newark, New Jersey, and majored in vocal music. And then from there, our parents wanted us to have what they call real jobs. And so, and of course, that they wanted us to go to college. And so I majored in music education, and then I taught vocal music in the public schools of Newark, New Jersey, before I finally went to my father and said, "Daddy, I'm a really good teacher. I love it. But I want to try to learn how to. I want to be a performer. I want to sing. So take me to some of your friends and your associates and see if you can help me get into show business." And that's how I actually started to get into the entertainment industry. Was that your question?
Yes, that was my question. Absolutely.
Okay.
Sometimes I get long-winded and forget where I started from.
That's okay. I am steady listening. Don't feel bad about getting long-winded.
Okay.
The thing is that here on Every Artist Podcast, we welcome your wisdom, because you have that experience. You're so seasoned. You're like better than a piece of fried chicken made right.
I know you people like that chicken, boy.
Well, I don't know about, my family's different, but it was the analogy that came to mind. But I'll speak for myself, and I'm sure Mae feels the same way. But listening to what you're saying, even though you might feel like you're rambling on, please open up, share with us.
you are a legend, and it is an honor to have you here. So hearing you speak about these experiences and everything like that, it's definitely something that new artists coming into the business could learn from, listening to your experiences and things like that. So it's an honor just to hear you talk. So it's all good.
A lot of artists even last as long as you have to even have that to pass down to the next generation. So
it's a
pleasure.
It's a privilege to me, too, so I want to make sure I use it right.
And so you were the first African-American female to win a Supporting Actress Tony. Is that correct?
I think so. Yes, I think so, because it's been, everything has been racist against people of color. I mean, that's how this country has begun. But so, of course, it wasn't going to be excluded in Broadway theater. But I think I wasn't really familiar with the categories, because once I got – let me back up a little bit so I can make a little sense here. Once my dad took me around to some people, and we were in somebody's office, a publisher's office. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, one of the first people I met in the well, before I actually got in the industry, to help me get in the industry, was Valerie Simpson. And she was a up-and-coming songwriter. She was not yet even a solo artist, but she did a lot of work in backup studio works, and she did jingles. And she asked me, did I read music, and we exchanged numbers, and she invited me to start singing backup singing work in the recording studio work behind whoever the big artists were at that time. And some of them were like Johnny Mathis or Frank Sinatra or Aretha Franklin, just whoever was out at that time. Not whoever, but I mean, yeah, yeah. Everybody. She, Valerie was already very successful as a backup singer. And one of the recording sessions was for Galt McDermott. He's the gentleman who wrote the music for the Broadway musical Hair. And he was also a keyboardist. So he was on his own solo album of the music from the Broadway show Hair. And he was being assisted by Jim Rado and Jerry Ragney, who happened to be the two male stars. But they also wrote the book and the lyrics for all the songs. So they were helping him do his album. And the album took about 2 weeks to do. And by the time we finished, they asked all of the backup singers on the recording session if they felt like it, they could come and sing for the producer and the director of the musical. They can come to the theater. And if they wanted, then they could be in the Broadway musical Hair. In other words, they were saying that they liked all of the singers on this show so much, and they were still casting. They could promise us right then that we could be in the Broadway show, even if they didn't know what they were going to do with us yet. In other words, that was our audition. That was my first audition. So that's how I got my first Broadway show.
And that was Hair.
That was a Broadway musical Hair.
Right.
And before I left the show, I wound up replacing Diane Keaton. And then, of course, I became the first black actress to replace a white actress in a lead role on Broadway. But what led to being the first person to be the supporting actress in a lead role was that one of the black girls in this show said, well, Melba, you don't even know how to audition. You didn't really get this show auditioning. You need to start learning how to audition. And she said, they're having these auditions for this new Broadway black show, and it's called Pearlie. And she said, first thing you have to do is you have to do what they call typecasting. I said, well, what is that? She said, well, when you go up for the role, you read what the role is about. You can get a copy of the script or size or what they call, and you try to look like the part when you go up there so they can imagine what you might be, and you have a better chance of getting the role if you seem to be right for it. So I went up to audition for Pearlie, and I was trying to learn how to audition, but to make a long story a little bit shorter, I got the role. And my point in saying all that to you was that I didn't know the categories or anything. So when you say, were you the first black actress to get a Tony Award for supporting actress, I want to let you know, I'm not sure I still know what all the categories are. But I know that some of the politics was, if I was in the category that whatever it was I was supposed to be, I would have been competing against Lauren Bacall. She had already been like a huge, and she was a middle-aged woman by that time. I think the show she was doing was called Applause. But she was already a big movie star, so they didn't want me to have to come up against her. Just by popularity, I probably would have lost. And I think... I don't know if any black person had ever been up for a Tony Award in a musical at that time. I'm not sure. But I know I wanted to explain that because it wasn't just like, okay, well, they have this category and you do this play and you get voted for it. It wasn't that simple because of the racism.
Wow.
That was my point in opening all that up, and I'm sorry if I made it complicated.
And so after you won the Tony, you and the actor Clifton Davis, the songwriter actor Clifton Davis, you guys were in a relationship and had your own TV show. Was it
right.
Like the variety show? Was that like something that was rare to have? You know, rare to see in that time, like a two black up and coming.
Absolutely, we were the first. As far as I know.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Because I was looking back and I was just like going through, you know, trying to find if there was something before you guys, and the Jackson family special came way after you guys. So I was like, you guys had to be the first.
Well, we were called the Black Sonny and Cher. You probably don't even know who Sonny is. He's been dead so long.
From Sonny and Cher, I got you, babe.
Yeah, right.
That's the only song I know
you
about.
You probably Googled that.
No, we're not that young. I'm like it. Look like it, but I ain't that young.
Yeah, well, just to put it in the kind of the time capsule that we were in at that time. So yeah, we were first, and but that was like kind of the model that they were following. Like we would be like the Black Sonny and Cher.
So now, like after, I think was it in the 90s and the 2000s when you start becoming more visible in like the movies and things like that, or was that did that start in the 80s?
Probably in the 80s because it had, I'm trying to think. Because then I had a new career, a husband and a child, you know, before I lost everything. And we started our own production company, and we managed people like Freddie Jackson and Melissa Morgan and really all of the major R&B artists of the late 80s.
Wow.
So that's
wow.
That's when it
So that's how the duet.
Yeah.
So is that how the duet between you and Freddie came about?
Right, and one of the things we were doing was putting Freddie with me so that we could expose him to the public and get him get the record companies familiar with him. So we got him signed with Capitol Records and helped launch. I'm singing backup on his first album.
Wow. Now I got to go back and re-listen again for that.
See, can you find my voice in the mix? Huh?
Yeah.
Listen to You Are My Lady. You'll hear my voice in there.
Wow. Okay, I'm definitely going to have to do that. Yeah, that's one of the... So, and so now I also see that you and Shirley Jones from the Jones Girls have something in the works? Or has it already been released?
No, we've just been working together. We've been touring together. And we love each other. We haven't collaborated on anything yet. I wouldn't mind doing something with her. She's a very, very, very talented woman.
Okay. And besides the new single, what else is there in store for you that we can look forward to?
Oh, gosh. Well, okay. I have a song with a Canadian artist group called Crack of Dawn, and it's called Solo Tiempo. Beautiful, beautiful ballad. And the story is basic, like, I just need enough time to make things right. I think that's what this this pandemic has given us, time to think and make things right. It's a beautiful ballad that's going to be released. Of course, you probably haven't heard I'm Just Doing Me yet, have you?
Yes, I have heard the clips from your page.
Okay.
And,
well,
yeah.
That's just coming out really almost today, so in the coming weeks you'll start to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going in the studio to do some other new recordings, because right now it's kind of like the day of the independent artist, because before you had 3 or 4 or 5 record companies, and if you weren't signed with them, you had no mechanism to do your own music and to promote it or market it. But Well, first of all, you're required to make a studio out of your home now. You can go and do your own Zoom record.
Right.
But I'll have lots and lots of projects coming out, and hopefully the pandemic will be over soon, and I can continue touring as I was beginning to actually have an increase in work. Everything was increasing for me. Just as I'll put it this way, I lost everything, and since I'm not a business person, it's taken me a very, very, very long time to try to rebuild that back, because that's not what my forte is. Or, I mean, you know, I could do the business, but it's not my talent. And so with that kind of being on the weak side, it's taken me very, very slow. Some things that if you were a business person, you wouldn't waste time doing those things. But if you don't know them, then you have to go through that process and get that built up. So it's taken me a longer time. But with everything coming back to me, I'm going to have, well, first of all, my partner, Ron Richardson, has grown incredibly in the area of business. He's a media person. He loves it, so he stays on it when he don't have to. So he's working overtime. But with us putting together the foundation, and he knows me very well, I know him very well, we're going to be able to partner and collaborate with people who are really skilled in certain areas. So I expect my whole business life and merchandising, you know, things that will come out of it, you know, like you'll see Martha Stewart was a cook. Now she sells linen. You know, I don't know where it's
right.
going to lead to, but it will blossom. That's just a natural way.
Okay, that's awesome. I look forward to seeing that. Definitely something that a lot of the legends are getting into, the marketing and branding side of the entertainment business.
Right.
Like with Patty Pies and
right.
She's also selling linen as well. So that's good to see our legends find another resource of income coming in.
Right.
So is there any other, like, I know everything in Hollywood is kind of frozen right now, but were you looking to get back into any more acting, Broadway or television or anything else?
Oh, yes. I've got some offers that are kind of on the back burner with major producer directors in television and film that are looking to create things for me, and so I know I'll be back in film and television. I have to be a little bit more creative about theater. I have some pieces that I want to do. I did one version of a Billie Holiday story in a theater project, and I'm going to create some things with my own theater company to do some touring theater and to do some theater that where I can really kind of focus and continue to build in the black community, start with my own community. And, of course, Broadway's wonderful. I'm sure I'll go back there, but I really want to kind of do it from me being in charge and also doing it from my as Donald Trump would say, my base, but I'm saying the black people.
Okay. And I was going to say, ask a question. Would you be opposed to having your life story done in a biopic?
A picture? Like a biographical picture? Is that what you mean? Or,
yes, ma'am.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No. I'm sure, I feel like that will come. I just ain't living yet.
Right. But that makes it even worth the, you know, even worth it, because look at the success of the Clark Sisters biopic, A Gospel.
Oh, I thought it was fabulous. I thought it was very well done. Yeah,
and then that way you can enjoy it as well. Look back on it and enjoy it as well,
right.
And get the accolades
right.
and the love that we love giving you,
right.
while you know we're still here.
Right, I look forward to that. Yeah,
but I definitely would love to see a movie done about your life, because it's so fascinating. All, you know, from the beginning, all the way up to the television shows, you know. Having to rebuild everything back up. I think it's a very inspirational story that, you know, just like the Clark Sisters movie, I think it'll be something that'll reach a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so. I believe so, yes. I look forward to that aspect of it as well. Yes, I do.
Lisa, do you have anything?
Well, hello. I was quite. Can you hear me?
I
yes.
hear you, yes.
I'm so sorry. I was quite interested in the fact that you were in the Fighting Temptations.
Right.
I probably didn't pull that out when I first saw it, because I am so terrible when it comes to picking people out. I really don't even look for Beyonce like that.
That movie had so many people in
there.
It.
It was everybody was in that movie.
Right.
How was
like,
it
that was
with those actresses?
Singers and actresses.
Oh, I enjoyed that so much. I really did, because everybody is so different. And then, you know, like I'm a real, real, real hardcore fan amongst many other millions of people of Yolanda Adams, you know, and Eddie LaVert, the OJs were old friends, and he's really he should do comedy. He's hilarious, and he has this loud voice. So I'll be coming down the hall trying to come into the studio, and I hear him laughing all the way down the doggone hallway. God, but there was always something to laugh at and to have fun with. And the only thing I can say about Beyonce is she's made me and a lot of people look short and ugly. She's so tall and gorgeous.
Don't say that.
Right.
No, but I'm not a large person. I didn't realize until I was standing beside her that she's really quite tall.
How was the interaction on set with Beyonce? Did she was she familiar with you guys? Because there's a lot of legends that were on the set. Was she familiar with you guys' careers and music and things like that? Did she know, you know, who she was amongst? You know, I know she was Beyonce, but she wasn't the Beyonce at the time. So was she familiar with you guys?
I never even thought about that. I guess, you know, we were all looking at what we're doing and thinking about what we're doing and working and, you know, fellowshipping, just being friendly with each other. She was very nice, very friendly, but nothing kind of stuck out. Maybe because you're with your peers and so
mm-hmm.
not really paying attention to that so much.
Did you guys do a lot of off-the-record singing together, like just hanging out and singing and stuff?
No.
I thought it was going to be just like everybody's just getting together and just kind of doing that, you know.
Okay. No, and then, you know, I guess it depends like on what scenes you have and everything, too. Yeah.
In every podcast, especially when we have someone that can sing, we would like to hear just a snippet of something that's on your heart. If you can just give us a little note, even if it's a hmm, would be good. Can you do that for us?
I'll give you a note.
Ooh. All right. Thank you.
Just one run. That's it.
From top
so
to
we're
going to
open
up.
Okay. I want to open the floor up to some of the guests we have on the line. First caller.
Hello.
That was just telling your testimony. If you quickly could say anything you would like to say to Melba in about 2 minutes.
I absolutely love my Melba Moore. When I met her, it was an awesome experience. Melba is 150% genuine. We
mm-hmm.
have a fan group for her. Melba interacts with us. She shares information. She's beautiful. Oh, my God, her performance was nothing short of amazing. Melba will continue. Her career is awesome because she made awesome music. I love Melba. I love coming at you. It'll never die, honey. I'm 54.
Right.
I'll be 55. I dance like crazy on it. And Melba, I lost a little weight. So, honey, when I do my next video and show you, I'm going to be throwing down. But
okay.
My girl, she is so beautiful. I'm telling y'all, she take time out with her fans. It was a time you couldn't do that. So I'm one of the administrators on her group. And sometimes some people come on there. They want to get into the group. It's really classy but fun. I deny them because the way they act, the attire is crazy. But this lady here, she's going to stay awesome. She's blessed. Because she is a woman of God, and I'm not just saying that. My experience when I met her, it was beautiful. I'll never forget it. I was excited. I'm still excited. I show my pictures off on Facebook. She let us snap. She let us snap so many pictures. I felt like I was at a fashion set with my girl, honey. And I'm telling you, Melba, when we went and bought them tux, I was like, I am not going in there tacky, because Melba been a fashion icon since the 70s,
right.
Honey. And, honey, we was sharp as I don't know what. I was geeked. I was excited. Don't tell me I wasn't cute. And Melba tore that show up. Her outfits were amazing. She is all I can say, and I promise you, and I'm 100, Melba is 100. She take time out. She answer you. She fierce, and she'll cut you up real classy and nice. My
right.
girl is just the bomb. I love her, love her, love her. That's all I can say. Peach Melba. Every time I come in, I throw my little peaches behind there. But I was a little ill, Melba, but I'm okay. Like I said, I have a little chemo today, and I pray to God every day. I know he's real. And some yeah. people don't kind of get it. God talked to me. He told me things, so I'm good. If you don't see yeah. me kind of texting my phone, kind of act up in hospital. But I love you just
thank
forever
you.
And ever. And, girl, honey, love coming at you. That's my jam, honey. I got to tell you, honey. I'm having my sister take when I get out this hospital. But my little
yeah.
hair done fell out. I'm going to put on me a hot Melba-looking wig, girl. I'm going to be throwing
yeah.
down, honey. Because I might be 54. I can dance better than that video. I'm a little fat, but, honey, some of this weight done peel, I'm going to be getting down, Melba. And God
all right.
bless you. I follow, and things that you say, I get it. And I got it. But you the one, honey. I love you.
Bless you. Bless you. I love you back. Thank you.
And thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you for that. That was amazing. Second
okay.
caller, are you still there?
Okay, I'm leaving.
Oh, you can stay on. Just stay on with us.
Oh, well, I'm going to stay on then. I'm
yeah, second caller. And we're gonna play out with one of Maribel's classics.
Okay.
Second caller, are you still there? We got somebody a little shy.
Well, they can be shy. I ain't gonna be shy, honey. I talked to Melba, get it going on. Let me tell you, honey. When we was at that show, Melba blew it out. Her voice is so clear, and you know what? I just feel sad. For some of the artists that have came out, they really need to listen to this music, like for now. All the albums that Melba had out in the past, Living for Your Love, you know, Falling, all these songs, they can be out right now, Mind Up
yeah.
Tonight, Keeping My Lover Satisfied. Honey, what? Okay.
That's the thing I like about Melba's music. It's basically timeless, and it's classics all
is.
The time. You can literally play those songs and they still kind of have that current sound no matter where you place it. Another thing I want to say is it's a lot of our legends' voices have kind of, for whatever reason, they're kind of lost esteem in their voice. But I don't know what it is, but Miss Melba, man, I mean, she literally still has it. Still has
yeah,
it.
Yes, she does. But you know what? When you know, and I can't sing a lick. I done sent Melba some stuff low key playing. But let me tell you something about me. I know the lyrics to the songs, honey. I know a good song when I hear it. My husband always say, "You called that song, honey." I said, "I told you." And Melba's music is still playing. Because it's still really good. It's like
right.
excellent. And if I was a person that could sing, that's one person that I would seek some pointers for. But it still wouldn't help me because Melba breaks glass. You know, this
right.
girl's voice is just, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask
it's
you real quick about that, Miss Melba. When did you know that you can hold that note that long? Like, where did that come from? Like, the only person I ever known that could – hold a note that long was Dionne Warwick back in her prime.
It was always there. I remember the first time it actually kind of popped up for me trying to get my voice heard because my voice was very small and quiet and thin, and I wasn't very strong at all, but I kept doing vocal exercises. I swim a lot and run a lot and take dance classes and do everything, try to build up the stamina, and then keep trying to develop a singing style. You know, you sing it at nursing homes, you sing at churches, you sing wherever they will let you so you can practice and try to develop your style. I remember the first time I was singing this song called Climb Every Mountain, and I was trying to do something, you know, stylish with it, and I hit a note or something, and I took this deep, 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 deep breath and breathed the way I was trying to, you know, do it, make it strong and loud and hard, and it popped out there and it went across the room. I thought somebody else had sung it. It sounded like it was coming from across the room. And I was listening, and singing at the same time. And then I realized it was me singing, and I was holding it. So, like, at a certain point, you build up until the point where you had that kind of stamina, and you hit it, and all of a sudden, it's like you've been in practice for a game or a sport or something, and you practice and practice, and finally one day, it's there. And then I was still singing the song, and so I hit it again to see could I hit it again. And then, you know, I would do songs that experiment with it and keep doing it, try to secure it, because you don't keep doing it, then you'll lose it. So you say when. Well, I don't remember when that was, but I don't think I was in show business yet. I was probably still in college.
Well, honey, wow. You a ball of fire, because she's so petite, right. And that music come out so clear, you feel it in your bones. That's how you know. It's just real. You have to understand music and know that soul that you put in it, because, honey, you can sing ang, okay? you can sing. And, honey, I can't
it don't come, you know, from you sitting watching TV. It comes from you striving and trying and, you know, and being frustrated because you can't do it. And then one day God gives it to you from working and believing and hoping, you know.
Well, honey, God just gave you that, honey. I try to be cracking up when you be posting them challenges. I'm like, what challenge, honey? I'm telling you, because you got I love this woman.
Speaking of challenges, do you have any new challenges for the new record that just came out? Any, like, your dance challenges or anything that you're thinking of right now for the new record?
Well, you know what? I'm just being me. I already seen somebody, Terry Hunter's a gentleman who actually is kind of spearheading it, and he's already put out a video with a young lady roller skating to it, which is unreal.
Oh, I
and
saw
then
it.
We,
right, that was crazy.
Did you see it?
Yeah, that was
and
amazing.
Then somebody, but somebody put, he's dancing in his wheelchair.
Oh, I saw that.
He can't walk.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's going to inspire some things that are unusual to basically say to, I don't care where you're bound, get up.
Right.
Yes, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm.
That's
you know, I basically do you. Everybody's got to be able to do them.
That song is amazing, man. Like, you really just kind of, like, it doesn't matter what the decade is. You can literally just go right in there. It's amazing because I'm, like, listening to the song. I'm like, wow, this this is so current. Like, this is, you know, it's amazing. Like, you can't put you in a box. Just like he said, you can't put you in a box. You just can.
Right.
You can step in any room and just
command
the room.
Let me give credit where it's due. You probably, when the record becomes very, very popular, people are going to know who the musicians are, and that's who did this. His name is George Pettis, but you'll hear his name lots and lots and lots.
Mm-hmm.
Especially listen to that keyboard solo up in there. I said, oh. Wait, huh? this is his concept and his production. And then what Terry did was put, you know, a house music mix on it. But between the two of them and the live horns that you hear and that nice those nice guitar licks, those live acoustic instruments, and it goes out with this wonderful, 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 clean, clear, funky drum beat.
Amazing. All right, we're coming to a close.
Great music.
I want to thank our legendary actress, Melba Moore, Tony Award winning, Grammy nominated legend.
Amen.
For coming in and sharing her
thank
time
you.
With us today. It's such an honor. You're such an amazing person. I love following you online. I love your posts. I love your banter back and forth. I just love your posts. You're hilarious. And very inspiring. I love everything you post. It's amazing.
Thank you.
I also want to thank our guests from the Melba Moore fan site. I want to thank you for sharing your testimony with us today. And everybody will be praying for you. And we'll keep you in our prayers.
Yes.
And we hope that you are able to access Melba's gospel record, The Day I Turn to You, because I think it will help you get through some of these difficult times.
You know, actually, it arrived to me because I lost my only child in December 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And Melba's CD came right through the mail. I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, my goodness here. And it's amazing. It's awesome, you know. So I just love Melda, and you guys did a wonderful interview. It was really nice, and, you know, have an amazing evening. And I believe in God. I got faith, and I'm going to be okay. Watch.
I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
I'm betting on it.
I love you, Melba, and thank you guys
so
much. Have a great day. I'm excited.
Love
I got to get on Peach Melba and tell them about this here interview, okay?
All right. Just wait till the last. Okay, and also, Ms. Melba, we want to you know, invite you to come back anytime you want to. Just,
thank
just,
you.
To run and hit me up, and this is your, this is your platform for anything you want to do. We're going to always support you because you are our legend, and we love you, and we celebrate you for all your contributions to music and continued contributions to music.
Amen.
Lisa, do you have anything? Lisa, you still there?
No, I don't. Yes, I'm still here. You know, I always have to mute myself. I have that one-year-old.
All right. So we're going to close out the show with one of my favorites. And that is Fallen by the legendary Elmore.
Yeah,
y'all listen for that
thank
high note.
Thank you so much.
All right, here we go. Everyone have
all
a great
right.
evening.
Thank you.